Blog Talk Radio.
This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and you listen to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com. Live broadcast, February 23rd, 2014. Broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I know it was nice and warm down here in the ATL this weekend. Before I start my show tonight, one, I'd like to give a congratulations to my sister Pam, who just got married, and to introduce my new cousin, my new brother-in-law, Kevin, to the family. So congratulations, sis. I heard your reception was off the chain last night. Sorry that I missed it. All right. Tonight's show, we're going to continue on our series of the real black history. And tonight, I'm letting you guys know ahead of time, tonight might be a little controversial. Also, I want to let you guys know ahead of time, before we get into tonight's topic, I am not claiming to be a religious scholar or of any sort like that, because tonight we are going to be talking about the true history of the African American Christian in the United States in America. Tonight's going to have some facts that I'm going to bring out that's going to be uncomfortable for some people. And then I'm also going to give my opinion on a couple of things and how I feel about a couple of things when it comes to religion. But I want to let everybody know ahead of time, one, I'm not going to be bashing the religion of Christianity tonight, so I'm letting you know that ahead of time. Two, I'm not going to be trying to convert anybody into any type of religion tonight either. So I want to put all that out on the table before we get started to tonight's show, because a lot of people is giving me some flack about doing tonight's show, but I'm like, why not? It's like we're keeping it real. We're moving our people forward. And the problem sometimes in that community, we don't like to talk about the real truth or the real history, you know, that has to do with our people and our community. And a lot of times it's because of forces outside of our community who has pretty much, you know, brainwashed our people or conditioned our people to not touch or get involved or teach our true black history. And so tonight is one of those topics, because right now, we have Baptist churches on every other corner in the African American community. But the flip side of it, we almost have a liquor store that matches the number of every church in our community. So how is that possible? So that's why we're going to get into this topic tonight. Well, I'm going to take a break, and when I get back, we're going to get into tonight's show. And once again, you listen to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com, and I am your man, Dwayne. I'll be back in a second.
Thought you were just another Romeo, the shoe you passed by in the store window. But soon as I got home, I wish I bought you instead. I got it bad, I'll take the black, take the navy and red. No other man has ever, ever had quite this effect. I sleep alone.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
This show is sponsored by DamselInDistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let DamselInDistress.com be your helping hands. Call 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services. That's 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services.
What's up, what's up, what's up, my petition man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YIZERRadio.com. Tonight's show, we're going to be talking about the African-American Christian. How do we become Christians? Because we all know, like over in West Africa, before we were sent over here during the slave trade, before the slave trade, you know, we didn't practice, teach, or follow the Christian religion. And so The question is, how do we become Christians in this country? The other part of it is, the sad truth about it is, we adopted the Christian culture, the Christian religion, from our slave owners, from our slave masters. So just like when we talked about the other day about soul food, soul food was forced on us. Like, well, it wasn't called soul food at times, pretty much slave food. You know, pretty much give the slaves, feed the slaves whatever's left over. Well, unfortunately, and once again, I'm going to say this disclaimer before we get into tonight's show. I'm not here tonight to, one, pretend or act like that I'm a religious scholar. Two, I'm not here to bash the religion of Christianity. So I don't want to get any calls tonight or anyone trying to defend or say that I'm bashing their religion or their belief, because that's not what I'm here to do. I believe that everyone should have something that they believe in to help them a better person in touch with the one true God, because there is only one God. Okay, but we are talking, I'm here to educate my people on true black history that's been eliminated from our schools, it's been eliminated from our churches, and I'm not going to just give you guys the fluff. I'm going to give you guys the real truth. So that's why we're getting to this topic tonight. And believe it or not, there's a lot of people who labeled, you know, Christianity for African Americans as the slave religion, because the slave masters actually used to use Christianity to help suppress us, to help us under, help keep us under their power of being our masters. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a clip, and I'm going to get into this whole concept of slave religion. But before tonight's over with, we're going to have to move forward and figure out how to break against the slave religion mentality. And I'm not talking about breaking away from Christianity. I'm just talking about, like, the true teachings of what the Bible is meant for. But unfortunately, the Bible was used against us, or the religion Christianity was used against us to keep us oppressed and keep us in the slave mentality. Okay? So let me play this clip for you guys real quick to give you insight of how slave religion worked.
And Brett, thank you so much for this privilege and opportunity to be with you. I enjoy so much when we are together.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you for being here. Our topic today is the remnants of a slave religion in today's African-American churches. And I'd like to begin by asking you to explain, before the emancipation of slaves, how was Christianity used to oppress slaves?
Well, very easy in terms of understanding that, of course, slavery was all about control. And the powers that were always looked for means and ways to be able to oppress. And so, matter of fact, you may have heard of the famous, or the rather the infamous, Willie Lynch letter, which is a historical letter that was attributed for that time, which a wealthy slave owner in Virginia had wrote a letter on how to be able to control the slaves. Well, Willie Lynch didn't talk about Christianity or, you know, religion, but yet but primarily, though, Christianity, of course, was used to control the slaves, and specifically from the standpoint of being, number one, otherworldliness. So don't worry about life now, but you're going to get everything that you want in the afterlife. So continue to struggle, continue to suffer. Matter of fact, the more that you continue to suffer, the more that you become Christ-like, and God then will reward you in terms of heaven. For after all, this world is not your home anyway. Of course, a reference to Bunyan's, you know, Pilgrim Progress, of course, which was one of the common books within the 16th and the 17th century that early Christians read, meaning the white slave owners read. So otherworldliness was a part of it. The second aspect of it was being content with their life now. Just, you know, don't fight for justice. Don't want all of those things. God is a just God. As long as you have, matter of fact, your salvation, everything is okay. So just be happy in the state where you're in, because, of course, God knows everything, and God knows your plight. But again, going back to the otherworldliness. And so the social controls were always there to keep the slaves in their space and place. I think about the Apostle Paul, and specifically the writing that he shares as far as slaves being good, you know, slaves, you know, don't disrespect, don't disobey the slave owners. And so all of those things were emphasized to keep the slaves in their space and in their place, not for them to revolt, not for them to think about some concept of freedom, but to be very much, this is what your lot is, God knows, and don't worry about it because you're going to be able to get it in heaven. Now, it's interesting because I just want to go a little bit further as far as that's concerned. That was not only from what was preached, because you have to remember also that the slave masters introduced Christianity to their slaves. They were the ministers, so to speak, of their slaves. And so they shared the themes, of course, that benefited them. In addition to that, as time went on, they, you know, were able to select men who were good slaves who would also be able to share what the slave master told them. Because remember, it was illegal for slaves to be able to read or write. And so all they were referring to and relying on was what the slave master told them about this good and gracious God that wanted them to stay in their space and place. And another part, not only in regards to what I've just simply shared, the themes of Christianity was always the emphasis upon the wickedness of humankind, the wickedness that relied within every human being, and particularly the slave. So it would be that, you know, we're poor, wretched sinners, that we are, you know, all of our righteousness is that of filthy rags, that we are, you know, nothing in Christ, that we're not worthy of anything because we are, quote-unquote, sinners. That message, that Calvinist message that looked at the depravity of man, was hammered into the slaves so that they could not and would not ever look at themselves as being, you know, truly a child of God in the context of being an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Okay.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazoRadio.com. Okay. The introduction to Christianity to the African-American slave. Now, I played that clip to give, like, a backstory, to, like, set a foundation of how all the tools, all the weapons, all the organization that they had in play during slavery to keep us under control. So one of the tools they used was religion. And one of their most powerful tools that they used against us was the Bible. So I just have one question to ask my people, my community that have become Christians. Are you a Christian because it was taught to you from generation to generation and you never really took the time to really educate yourself, to really understand why you are a Christian? Or have you taken that time and then chose to be a Christian and then forgive your fellow brothers of the Christian faith and forgive them for using the religion against you to keep you and your people enslaved? Because, like, once again, there's a lot of teachers out there that continue to say that we have adopted the slave religion side of Christianity, and we continue to teach those same thought patterns and those same traditions in today's Christian teachings in our community. Now, right now, I'm just going through a stage just asking several questions just to make you just sit back and think for a second. You know, any of you listeners out there who are on your toes, like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's talking about this tonight. I just want you to slow down. Just open your mind a little bit and just listen to reason. And don't be afraid to look and learn the history of why our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, our great-grandfathers adapted the Christian religion, especially when we know that the part of the world that we came from, Christianity was not the chosen religion. And once again, I'm not bashing Christianity. I'm not saying it's a bad religion. I'm not saying anything like that. I just want to understand, just like I was trying to understand how we continue to eat like slaves, why do we still sometimes teach slave teachings or slave ways of religion, you know, to our community? You know, it's almost like, once again, it was like Master gave it to us. Master was good to us, so we love what Master gives us. Okay? So I'm going to continue on and give you guys some more backstory of why we became Christians, and then, you know, we're going to get more into the conversation tonight. But I want to play the second part of this clip. That first clip that I played was actually a two-part clip on, actually is a, yes, a two-part clip on why some leaders out there are saying that, you know, Christianity is a slave religion, and how do we break that mold from still teaching the ways of teaching Christianity in our community from the way that the slave masters taught us. So here's the second part of the clip.
How is God typically portrayed in African-American churches today? I would say that God is portrayed much as he was in the slavery period, a God who is angry, a God who is vengeful, a God who is a God of judgment, a God of wrath. Oh, but then we throw in, oh, God is love. But as we think about it, most of the time from sermons and things, and I'm talking about not from the televangelists that fill the screens who come with a whole different brand of Christianity. I'm talking about what is being taught in mainline, you know, denominational and even non-denominational churches across America. Because, again, many people will look at, oh, you know, I watch so-and-so on television, and they don't teach it that way. Okay, yeah, that's a whole different, you know, conversation in another show for another time. But from the standpoint of the average church, and the average church in America has, what, less than 100 members that meet at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. In those churches primarily, they are teaching and portraying of this God of anger, wrath, of vengeance, and then they throw in, oh, God is love, by the way. Now, if that continues to become our predominant view of God, then God is something to be to not be revered and to be looked at as Father who loves me, but it puts us in a state of, man, I better not mess up, because if I mess up, and it's interesting because in most conversations that I have with many people, they share, you know, if something's going on, they're like, oh, well, God is whooping me. Well, what do you mean God is whooping you? I mean, it's like, even that reference is a reference back to slavery. God is whipping you. What do you mean? Well, God chasteneth those, they may use the scripture, God chasteneth those whom he loves. Well, hold it now. I mean, you know, I do understand that scripture, but when hardship and pain and suffering comes, why are we attributing that to God? I do believe, don't get me wrong, that there are challenges. I do believe that there are things that we must endure. However, though we are quick to attribute that to God than to some of the choices and decisions that we have made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very clear.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on YahzooRadio.com. Now, I played that second clip because I want to bring attention to the fact of slave religion, slave mentality, slave mind state. And he mentioned that in the clip, like, you know, people say, I'm being whipped by the Lord. And once again, it's like, when you think of other cultures, when you think of other religions, well, other culture, religions and other people's cultures, they don't talk like that. They don't look at God as like a overseer or someone that's, you know, whipping them and keeping them oppressed or whatever, and tell them, well, it gets better once you die. You know, and I'm not sitting up there talking the fact of going against scripture or anything like that, but I've read the Bible, I've read the Quran, and I've read the Torah. And what I get from all three of those books – outside of religion, I'm just talking about those three books, I get an uplifting message. I get a message that I'm a true believer in, that they said that we are created in the image of the Lord. So I consider myself as a God, but I also consider myself I'm a God, but I am a servant of the Creator. But I've never in my life ever during hard times go, I'm being whipped. You know, I try my best not to talk like a slave. Those are slave terms. And I hear this a lot in our community, but the crazy part about it, this is stuff that's being taught in our community. When you think of the Lord, if you think of any religion, because first off, I'm going to tell you guys something right now that you're not going to probably like, but anyone who has a sense of any type of common sense understands that all religions are man-made. They're created. The Creator, the Lord, God, Jehovah, Allah, whatever you may call him, did not create any religion. He did not. Well, I ain't going to say he. The Creator did not create any religion. He did not create Islam. He didn't create Judaism. He didn't create Christianity. He did not. But these religions were created, though, to help guide people to righteousness. Okay, whatever religion you may choose. We're not getting into a conversation of what religions better than other religions. We're not getting into that conversation tonight. But what we are getting into tonight is how Christianity was introduced to African Americans. And I still have an issue with understanding why do we grab on 600 years later, we still grasp on to what we got from our slave masters. And then when you don't grab onto what was given to us by our slave masters, you're considered you're being rebellious, or you're being a rebel, which is not true. I can remember times talking to elders or older African Americans back in the day when I was younger and today, and I tell them that I don't believe in all the concepts of Christianity. They look at me like I'm the devil. But I'm thinking to myself, how am I the devil when I can sit up there and read all the scriptures that you read and I don't come out being super passive? You know, I never understood that whole concept of turning the other cheek, you know, and I never understood the whole concept of you're supposed to suffer and not be able to take care of your family or have wealth or whatever, and then you become a sinner. That's not true, because my thing is, how are you supposed to help somebody if you can't help yourself? How can you help your fellow man if you can't help yourself? I mean, think about if you have a neighbor who needs help getting their lights turned on. Well, how can you help them get their lights turned on if your lights are turned off? So that's what I'm trying to understand, the concept of how are we still allowing any religion, but we're talking about Christianity right now. Any Christianity keep us from prospering to be able to help our community out. We're not supposed to be sitting up there like, yes, massa, I sit around and wait for the Lord to deliver me, you know, what I need for my family. The Lord doesn't work like that. You know, the Lord works where, you know, these are like the guides to help you through life, but you're supposed to be active. You're not supposed to be passive. You're not supposed to just sit around and accept whatever, you know. You're supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to move. You're supposed to be a teacher. You're not supposed to regurgitate something that somebody else told you. You're supposed to take the time to study. And once you study, you teach and you lead by example. Okay? I'm going to take a break because I feel like I'm about to become real preachy. So I'm going to take a break and I'll be back in a second. You listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com, and this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy.
Your lights down low. the moon come shining in into our life again. Yeah. Ooh, it's been a long, long time. I get this message for you, girl, but it seems I was never on time. Still, I wanna get through to you, girl, on time, on time.
Wow.
I want to give you some love. I want to give you some good, good loving. Oh, I. Oh, I, yeah, I want to give you some good, good loving.
Turn your lights down low. Never, never try to resist. Oh, no.
Nah, nah, nah.
Oh, let your love come shining in.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
This show is sponsored by damselindistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let damselindistress.com be your helping hands. Call 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services. That's 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man Dwayne Abernathy listening to Moving Forward here on YIZERRadio.com. Tonight, February 23rd, 2014, live broadcast from Atlanta, Georgia. We are talking about the true black history of the African-American Christians in this country. So far, I mean, I had to go back and pretty much explain the fact that, you know, Christianity was a religion that was used against us to keep us submissive to slavery. And pretty much got us in the mindset of, like, you know, you be a good servant boy to your slave master, that you will be rewarded, you know, in the afterlife. And once again, the things that I'm sharing with you guys tonight are facts. These are not my opinions. But I am going to give some of my opinions on some of this stuff, whatever, on this subject, because I always had these questions my whole life. I can remember being a young kid in church. And I can remember asking questions that didn't make sense to me by, you know, older teachers in the church. And they would just tell me, that's just because that's the way it is. Or, you know, because I say it is. Or that's what Bishop said it was, you know. But there was never no other path, that it wasn't no, you know, no follow-up thinking. But this is what you was told. So this is what you have to believe, you know. But then as I got older, I started learning more about our role in this country and start finding out the things that we grasp onto that put part of our life are all stuff that was thrown to us from our slave masters. And it's once again, I keep asking the fact of, just like I asked the other day with the soul food, it's like, are we still slaves? Do we still think like slaves? And we walk around and claim that we're not slaves anymore. Why do we still do things that were forced upon us during slavery? And we accept them as our culture. It doesn't make sense. You get what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. It's almost like that mind state of, you know, the house Negro in the field Negro is like, you know, massa, we sick. You know, massa teach you how to read scripture to how he believes the scriptures are. Then you go out to the field Negroes and you teach the field Negroes what massa just taught you without thinking past of what he taught you. Because, you know, back in those days, you know, it was illegal for us to learn how to read. But after a while, they found them some good step of fetching Negroes and let them learn some scripture. But they taught the scripture from their point of view. You stay submissive. You don't strive to take better care of your family. Let us handle that for you. It's almost one of those things like, let us do the thinking for you. And you just sit back and just be gracious. And we'll take it. You'll be taken care of in afterlife. But that's not what the Christian faith is about. That's not what it's about. I know it's not what it's about. And I'm fed up with a lot of these religious leaders right now still teaching that same old stuff today, keeping us in a slave mentality. There's a lot of stuff that this doesn't add up. And I still want to, my goal is to try to keep us from keeping the slave mentality. Stop thinking like slaves. Now my next question is, how many of you guys, I'm going to take you guys back to, in history, like the first Black Baptist church. How did we get that first Baptist preacher? How did we get the first Baptist church? Where is the first Baptist church? These are a lot of questions that we don't even take the time to teach or ask in the Christian churches in this country. But I guarantee you, any other religion, I know in Islam, you know the history of Islam. You know where the Kaaba and Mecca came from. You know everything about Prophet Muhammad. I know in the Jewish religion, they teach everything from the history of, you know, of how the Torah came together and everything about that. But the African Americans, we learn about the Bible, but we don't learn how we became Christians in this country, especially when we know that we were slaves and we know that the country that we came from was not teaching Christianity. Also, we also understand, and that's why I don't get why we don't teach more in our community. We know when you become a slave, they break you from what? Your culture, your religion, and your family. Your culture, your religion, and your family. And now we're in 2014, and we still have what main issues in our community? We have issues in our culture. We have issues in our religion. And we have issues in our family.
For where two or three are come together in my name, I will be there also. As we study the history of the Black Church, one item of particular note is that the African-American slaves never questioned or abandoned their faith due to the skin tone portrayed to be for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, using only the predominant European features, which was customary at that time, instead of that of Jesus' Hebrew ancestry. It is truly remarkable that these early African-Americans, both slave and free men, chose to focus on the message that for all those that believe in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Although our study on the historically Black church and its testimony, the message in this DVD is made for all people, regardless of color. These early Black Christians provided an example for all Christians, but it is just one of the many examples and of the prayers answered by the people of faith. In Hebrews 11:1, Faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. These early African-American Christians truly lived their faith in some of the most turbulent times in the history of our country. Although it is debated, the First African Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia is thought to be the very first Black Baptist church established in America. This church owed its formation to the work of three men, David George, George Leal, and Andrew Bryan, who were brought together by the American Revolution. Andrew Bryan, the founder of the First African Baptist Church, was born enslaved in 1737 on a plantation outside of Charleston, South Carolina. In 1788, Bryan was ordained and his church was certified, predating the establishment of a white Baptist church in Savannah, Georgia by 5 years. Andrew Bryan served as coachman and body servant to his slave owner, Jonathan Bryan, who along with his brother, Hugh Bryan, both of whom were Southern whites and more importantly Christians, and several other Southern Christian white planters in the area, was arrested by the local officials for preaching to the slaves. Jonathan Bryan's plantation became the center of efforts by a dissenting group of planters to evangelize their slaves. The First African Baptist Church also served as a stop on the Underground Railroad. During the Civil War, the church housed runaway slaves in a 4-foot space beneath the sanctuary floorboards. The current sanctuary facility is located in Savannah, Georgia, in the National Historic District on Franklin Square, and was built in the 1850s, completed in 1859, by both free African Americans and slaves. The church museum contains archives and memorabilia that date back to the 18th century. The museum is open to visitors daily during normal hours of operation, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. In God We Trust is the official national motto of the United States. Clearly, African Americans witnessed a different experience from their early Christian brothers in America. The Bible teaches in Luke 6:43-45 to judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Once African Americans learned to read and interpret the Bible for themselves, they saw the fallacies in the Christian clergy and the U.S. government's argument that all men are created free. One of the great challenges with faith among African Americans is the view, by some as it still exists today, that Christianity is the white man's religion. Some believe that Christianity was and is the religion of the oppressors, the religion of those who sit in the Hippocratic seat of power, in the American church, and in the government of the United States. God continues to claim victory over this misguided belief. Every day we are shown evidence that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Throughout its inception, during the time of the Roman Empire, Christian evangelicals have seen their primary tasks as spreading the gospel and making disciples. Their practice was to avoid any issues that might interfere with what they believed was this single mission of the church. They called for changes in the hearts of people, rather than changes in the institution of government. They believed that whatever was wrong in society would be corrected when more men and women were converted to Christianity.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazRadio.com. Tonight, we are just touching a touchy subject, something that I know when I was growing up was never discussed in any churches that I attended. We're discussing something that I know was never discussed in family get-togethers. And just going back to get a better understanding of why, like, I think it's like, I would say like maybe 70% of African Americans in this country are just Christians, just because. I mean, it's very few African American Hindus I've ever met. There's very few African-American, well, to the past 15 years, Muslims I've met. There's very few African-American atheists I've ever met. There's very few African-Americans that study. There's so many Jews that I've met. It's like, but it's like almost like if you're an African-American in this country and you say you're not a Christian and you stand up and say you're not a Christian, the Christians look at you like you're crazy. And I hate to say it, it's almost like you come, if you're gay and you come out and say you're gay finally to the family, they're looking at you like you're crazy. You know? And that's the part that I don't understand. It's like, one, how do we become so judgmental as Christians? And then two, how do so many of us in this country become Christians and don't know the history why most of us are Christians. I'm just throwing out questions tonight because a lot of stuff I don't have the answers to. But tonight I just want to get my listeners to think about these things. Like, what's wrong with maybe exploring another religion outside of Christianity? Why is it just so? It's two things that bothers me so much about my community. African Americans, we automatically say that we're Democrats, and you dare not be a Democrat or something's wrong with you, and you better be a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, something's wrong with you. I don't get it. Oh, it's a third one, but this is not important. And you better eat pork. If you don't eat pork, you must be a Muslim. Even though the Bible does discuss the fact that you're really not supposed to eat pork. But once again, I'm not trying to be no religious scholar tonight. I'm not about to get into scripture and all that type of stuff tonight. Tonight, I just want to bring out some facts. And I just want to drum up the conversation. I want you to drum up this conversation to have with your religious leader. I want you to drum up this conversation next time you're sitting there doing your teachings, your private teachings, because I'm a true believer in your private teachings. Learn for yourself about your religion. Don't just listen to somebody and regurgitate what they told you. But just have an open mind just to understand, you know, why do we believe what we believe in? This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'm taking a break, and I'll be back in a second. You listen to Moving Forward here on YaiserRadio.com.
Polaris. Double M. Slip and slide collabo. Let's get it. What he talking about? Know I've been a roamer, but let me call you out. Where you put your crown? You got a little style. Let me put it down until you walking on the cloud. Look. The time's now, I'm intrigued. Whenever I browse, I'll be sure you get things. Yeah, see what I did there? Slip and slide on the body until you get there.
I can't lie when I watch my baby. Her lip gloss box just came from the spa. Hair done too, but girl, that was four shots ago. I swear to God, people pay for a smile like yours, and I'm loving it, yeah, and I'm loving it, girl, I swear to God, they'll pay for an ass like yours, if it wasn't there, yeah, yeah, and I'm rubbing it, and I'm rubbing it.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
This show is sponsored by DamselInDistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let DamselInDistress.com be your helping hands. Call 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YISER to receive a 5% discount on your services. That's 1-888-769-2210. 2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on YIZERRadio.com. Masters wanted their slaves to become Christians because it made them easy to control. Let me repeat that. Masters wanted their slaves to become Christians because it made them easier to control. The master would tell the slave something and say it was the word of God, and they would believe them because they could not read the Bible. See the picture that I'm painting? Because that happens in today. Right now, today, there's people who go to church every Sunday and never read the Bible. They sit up there every Sunday and they will listen to their preacher. And then the preacher tells them, this is the word of the Lord. But they never take the time to read the Bible theirself. So how do they know that everything their preacher that they have is teaching them the real words of the Bible? It's almost the same concept. You see the picture that I'm painting here? It's almost like be conscious of your teaching is what I'm trying to say. I'm not here bashing a religion. I'm not sitting up here talking bad about being a Christian. What I'm saying is, if you're going to be a Christian, don't study and keep following the slave mentality side of being a Christian. I don't know why they always say in order to be a Christian, you have to be very submissive. And I'm going to compare the two. I'm going to compare the two between black Christians and white Christians. Black Christians, turn the other cheek. Pretty much prosper for, to have more wealth to help your people, whatever. But then you look at the white churches and they sit up there holding the Bible and a gun at the same time. The white churches are sitting up there, making millions and millions of dollars and having these big food pantries and organizations and these very expensive high private schools or whatever. But then you have this, the black churches in my community struggling. Aren't they reading from the same book? Aren't you guys reading from the same book? So how is there two different messages being taught? Going back in history a little bit, the first African-American church, Savannah, Georgia. Okay. First Baptist Congregation in North America, when it was officially organized in 1788, Savannah, Georgia. It grew from members who founded the congregation in 1773. It claims to be the first Baptist church. There's claims that there is another church, I believe, in Virginia that's supposed to have been open before then. But my question to my community is, once again, people of all religion, Muslims travel to Mecca. Jewish people, I forget the name of the wall, I think it's in Israel, whatever, they go to this wall and they travel there. How many of my African-American people have traveled to Savannah, Georgia, especially you African-American and you Christian, visit this church? It's a museum. Shouldn't that be part of the history of teaching your child, of you raising children, of you even yourself a believer? Shouldn't this be part of your pilgrimage, especially African-American? I can understand if you're from another country. I mean, if you're a Christian, you from another country, it shouldn't matter to you. But this is the part that I'm talking about. Shouldn't this be part of our teaching in our communities, that since we are Christians in this country, even though it was given to us by a slave master and we have adopted this as our religion, shouldn't a pilgrimage to Savannah, Georgia be part of your teaching to show that this is the very first, Baptist church for African Americans in the country? I'm just saying, I'm just bringing out the obvious. I'm just talking about the true black history that we don't talk about in our homes. We don't talk about this in our churches, and we sure don't talk about it in our government controlled schools. You know. And the thing about it is, why do we still not teach more? Let me rephrase this. Why is it the fact that when we do have more progressive thinking pastors in today's community, that there's still a backlash against those more progressive thinking pastors in our community? You know, this is just questions. These are just things that move my people forward. You know, once again, if you a Christian, why not teach or why not take a trip to see the first African-American Baptist church? You know, why not be open house? That's another thing, too, that I don't understand about a lot of my community. Why can't you not have an open conversation with somebody who has a different belief? Or why can't we sit down and have an open conversation with somebody who maybe not even a believer? Why does it have to be, if you don't believe what I believe in, you're a sinner and you're not on the right path? Why can't that be more than one path to the Lord? Why can't it be more than one path to heaven? I'm going to play this clip to continue on to give us some more background of the African-American and the black church and the black Christian in our country.
During the early 1700s, there began a controversial movement to present the gospel to the slaves. Slavery was seen as a necessity for the survival of agricultural business in the South. Therefore, many opposed preaching to the slaves because they feared slaves would automatically be freed once they received the gospel. In order to maintain the status quo, Christian leaders and slave owners used passages from the Bible to teach slaves that God had divinely ordained them to be slaves. As stated earlier, the most popular scripture passage used was the so-called curse of Ham, found in the book of Genesis 9:20-25. The name Ham carries the meaning of hot, burnt, or black. The Bible refers to Egypt as the land of Ham in Psalm 78, 105, and 106. Using the incident about Ham, many white evangelicals came to believe that the Bible supported slavery and that the so-called curse of Ham made Africans an inferior race. These white clergymen used such biblical passages to justify slavery, as Colossians 3:22, which says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." They used such structure as 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18-20, from the New International Version of the Bible, which says, "Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God." Using scriptures such as these, white slave owners and others convinced several of the slaves that they would be disobeying God if they tried to free themselves. Slaves were taught that they would be rewarded in heaven if they would only submit and perform well as slaves, because this role had been given to them by God himself. Many of the
submit and perform well as slaves. The masters were scared that the slaves would be too smart if they knew how to read. This is why the masters did not want their slaves to learn how to read, and there were laws against it. The slaves were also not allowed to practice their African religious rituals. The masters also thought that the drums would verify some type of message as a signal for a slave uprising. I'm going to give you guys a myth that I've been told about why a lot of African Americans think that we became Christians. I was just talking to somebody today, and they was telling me the reason why African Americans became Christians is because that's the only thing we had to hold on to get us through slavery. And I've heard that story so many times throughout my life, and that's not the truth. The reason why a lot of us believe in Christianity, because the slave masters was using it against us to keep us in line. They were pretty much like, look, this is the way it is, and these are the words from God. We didn't know no better. We was in a new land. We've been beat down. They didn't rape our wives. They didn't took our kids. They didn't fed us slop. But this is why you're being punished. If you become a humble and understanding slave to your master, you're going to be blessed in the afterlife. Come on, man. I'm just bringing out the facts tonight. I'm not doing any bashing. I just want us to start thinking more.
Slaves were taught that they would be rewarded in heaven if they would only submit and perform well as slaves, because this role had been given to them by God himself. Many of the clergy even argued that Christianity made slaves behave better. Therefore, this slanted view of Bible verses became a popular and successful method of controlling slaves. This is one of the many reasons a great number of African Americans, some still today, rejected or take a weary eye to Christianity because they believe it to be a white man's religion. Clearly, those pro-slavery white theologians could have just as easily referred to the several teachings of the Apostle Paul, such as in the book of Philemon. Here, a runaway dishonest slave by the name of Onesimus had been converted to Christianity. Paul asks his owner, Philemon, to receive his slave back and to treat him as a brother in Christ, offering love and forgiveness. In fact, Paul asks the owner to offer the same treatment that he would give to Paul himself. George Whitefield, who is believed to be the founder of the evangelical movement in America, sometimes called the Great Awakening, preached to mixed audiences. His messages spoke of equality in Christ for all, but Whitefield was a supporter of slavery. He claimed God allowed slavery for greater purposes, one of which was to evangelize the heathen Africans. Therefore, many evangelicals felt they would be going against God's will if they abolished slavery. The great revival preacher Charles Finney used theological truths to oppose slavery in the Second Great Awakening. He called slavery an evil practice and did not allow slave owners to take communion in his church. However, Finney did not preach against racial prejudice and segregation. Blacks and whites were segregated and not allowed to sit with each other during worship services at Finney's church.
What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and listen to Moving Forward here on YahooRadio.com. Tonight, our true black history topic tonight, we are talking about the African-American Christians. How do we become Christians in this country? I got a question. Do you think that God, the Creator, is prejudiced? Do you think that God, the Creator, made the decision like, you know what, white people, this is what I want you guys to do. I want you to enslave African Americans because I need more African Americans to become Christians? This question. I mean, this question. Because once again, the thing that we still talk about today is the only good thing that we get out of slavery was Christianity. And I'm thinking, God the Creator, do you think God the Creator was like, I want them to go through slavery so they can become Christians? I mean, I never been taught this. It's never talked about. Never talked about in our churches. It's never talked about in our homes. It's all talked about, you do what you're told, you do what it says. And we all know, anybody who's taken the time to read the Bible know that a lot of the teachings, especially during the tradition of our community in this country, was a lot of slanted views from the Bible. But the part that I don't get is like the preachers out there who teach the real teachings of the Bible, they get rejected. But then the preachers out there who still teach the slave version of the Bible, the congregations are full. And then the other part, I don't understand the fact of why do we not have an open mind? I'm trying to figure out, why can you not sit down and talk an open conversation with a true believer and get them to think outside the box a little bit. It's almost like, once again, and I hate to say this word. I really don't want to say what I'm about to say. But it's almost like brainwashed slave mentality. I got to say it. Because I believe that you should, I ain't going to say you believe you should have a religion. I believe you should be spiritual. But if you choose a religion, like I'm a part of a religion. But I'm a part of religion, and I know how to understand the fact that some of this stuff is a little far-fetched, and some of this stuff helps me become a better man, a better son, a better husband, a better father, a better friend. And I give that credit to the religion that I choose to study. When I sit up there and see stuff like I'm supposed to be passive and not a thinker and just accept, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't. Especially when I can look at my fellow man and I can read the same scripture and they get a totally different understanding of that scripture than I got. So I can't sit up there and be a follower of any man that tell me, well, this is what the Bible says and this is how you're supposed to do it this way. That doesn't even make sense. And that's like how they used to do us back in the day with slavery. Since we couldn't read, they would sit up there and preach to us and like, this is how it is. If you go against it, you're going to burn in hell.
Slaves were taught that they would be rewarded in heaven if they would only submit and perform well as slaves, because this role had been given to them by God himself. Many of the clergy even argued that Christianity made slaves behave better. Therefore, this slanted view of Bible verses became a popular and successful method of controlling slaves. This is one of the many reasons a great number of African Americans, some still today, rejected or take a weary eye to Christianity because they believed it to be a white man's religion. Clearly, those pro-slavery white theologians could have just as easily referred to the several teachings of the Apostle Paul, such as in the book of Philemon. Here, a runaway dishonest slave by the name of Onesimus had been converted to Christianity. Paul asks his owner, Philemon, to receive his slave back and to treat him as a brother in Christ, offering love and forgiveness. In fact, Paul asks the owner to offer the same treatment that he would give to Paul himself. George Whitefield, who is believed to be the founder of the evangelical movement in America, sometimes called the Great Awakening, preached to mixed audiences. His messages spoke of equality in Christ for all, but Whitefield was a supporter of slavery. He claimed God allowed slavery for greater purposes, one of which was to evangelize the heathen Africans. Therefore, many evangelicals felt they would be going against God's will if they abolished slavery. The great revival preacher Charles Finney used theological truths to oppose slavery in the Second Great Awakening. He called slavery an evil practice and did not allow slave owners to take communion in his church. However, Finney did not preach against racial prejudice and segregation. Blacks and whites were segregated and not allowed to sit with each other during worship services at Finney's church.
Blacks and whites were segregated. I'll play that clip again because, once again, question. If you're a part of a religion, Christians, you're a black person, say for instance, a black person here in Atlanta, you go down to southern Georgia and walk up in a southern Georgia white church, are you accepted as a brother? Are you accepted as a fellow Christian brother? Or does racism kick in? Now, there's only one true God. There's only one Bible. Aren't we all brothers if we choose the same religion? Aren't you a human? We're all human beings. So why on Sunday or any day of the week, why is everybody so segregated? Why can't somebody that's, let's say for a country white guy, just walk up in a African-American Baptist church without getting strange looks. Aren't you all Christians? Aren't you all brothers? These are the questions that I'm asking tonight. Take the why is there racism involved in this religion? I'm going to give you guys a story. You guys know the story of Malcolm X. And Malcolm X, well, he's not a Christian. He was a Muslim. But his introduction to Islam was by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And they was teaching them pretty much black separation. White man's the devil. Don't socialize with white people. And he believed those teachings until he went over to Mecca and did a pilgrimage and realized that there's white Muslims, there's Asian Muslims, there's blonde hair, blue-eyed Muslims. They're all brothers. You go to the Kaaba, you take a pilgrimage to Mecca, there's all shades of Muslims. Okay. He was getting some false teachings, and I know I probably just pissed off some people, but he was getting some false teachings. Christianity. But, oh, let me rephrase that. So he can go to any mosque, masjid in the country and around the world and be accepted no matter your skin color. But why can't you do that in the Christian churches? I'm not bashing a religion. I'm not comparing religions. What I'm trying to say is this. Us as African Americans, we need to challenge our white brothers and sisters in the Christian faith and get together and fellowship amongst each other. We also need to fellowship amongst each other more against our with our other, you know, black churches. Because this is the thing. This is the thing here. These are the questions that made me a rebel, or some people even call me a non-believer, when I was going to church all the time, because there was a lot of things that was going on that just didn't make sense. But every answer, every time I asked the question, my answer is always because that's what the Lord says, or that's what Bishop says, or that's what Pastor says, or whatever. But that's not teaching me nothing. That's programming me. That's programming me to be able to regurgitate something that an elder or somebody ordered me, told me to memorize, and then I regurgitate that to my kids, and my kids regurgitate the same thing, and nobody's teaching each other anything. And the same thing happened to us during slavery. Slaves were told something by Massa, then the slaves went and told their kids, then their kids told their kids, then their kids told their kids, and 400 years later, we're still teaching our kids the same slave thought pattern that Massa taught us. And let me tell you what's so sad. When I was doing my research for this show, I ran across this very disturbing clip by a racist white guy. But the sad part about it is, I couldn't argue with him because everything he said was true. Everything he said was true. He pretty much said, if you're a Christian, you're an Uncle Tom. How does that make you feel? I want to tell you how that made me feel. It pissed me off. It pissed me off. And we're talking about this is like a video. This is something he said like 2-3 months ago. But the bad part about it is he wasn't talking about it from his own opinion. He pulled out facts to prove his statement. Listen to his statement. Listen to what he has to say. This is a white guy. A racist white guy at that. I'm not going to say he's racist, but like this, he's just one of those old school thinking white guys. But the sad part about it, he's telling the truth.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time, man. It's Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained. Samuel L. Jackson plays one of the greatest characters in movie history. He plays an Uncle Tom House Negro. And Uncle Tom House Negroes were incredibly hated among the other slaves, because basically they sold out their own race for the white man. Well, I have bad news for you, black Christians. Basically, every one of you are Uncle Tom House Negroes. It's true. I'm sorry. You may not like it, but the truth is the truth. And I'm going to tell you a story. A true story. A little over 400 years ago, the first slave ship came to America with African slaves on it. And it was called the Good Ship Jesus. Go look it up. True. This is history, man. The Good Ship Jesus was the first to bring African slaves over here, but it was not the last. Many, many, many other ships followed. And those of your ancestors who were lucky enough to actually make it over here, well, they were tortured and raped and murdered. Some of them tortured and murdered in front of the others just to make an example about what happens to you if you fight back. Their families were torn apart, never to see each other again, and then they were put to some of the most back-breaking labor day after day the mind could possibly imagine until their bodies gave out. And believe it or not, there were actually a few people back then that said, hey, this is a bad idea. We should not enslave our fellow human beings. But the slave masters said, we have a right to do this. We have a religious right because the Bible tells us it's okay. And then they opened this book of ancient fairy tales and they read from it proof that their religion gave them every right to hold slaves. Leviticus 25, 44 through 46. However, you may purchase male and female slaves from among the foreigners who live among you. You may also purchase the children of such resident foreigners, including those who have been born in your land. You may treat them as your property, pass them on to your children as a permanent inheritance. You may treat your slaves like this, but the people of Israel, your relatives, you must never treat this way. But how about what it says about your daughters? If a man sells his daughter as a slave, she will not be freed at the end of 6 years as the men are. If she does not please the man who bought her, he may allow her to be bought back again. That's Exodus 21, 7 through 11. Go look it up, people. The Bible is very clear. Slavery is fine. And before you guys even start telling me that that was the Old Testament and it no longer counts because the New Testament changed everything, how about some New Testament for you? Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them as sincerely as you would serve Christ. Ephesians 6, 5. And how about 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2? Christians who are slaves should give their masters full respect so that the name of God and his teachings will not be shamed. Go look it up. Even the New Testament's very clear. Not a single place in this Bible anywhere does it condemn slavery. In fact, it condones it over and over and over again. Not even Jesus himself ever said a single bad word about slavery. In fact, this is what he said. The servant will be severely punished, for though he knew his duty, he refused to do it. But people who are not aware that they're doing wrong will only be punished lightly. So even according to Jesus, even if you didn't know you were doing wrong, if you're a servant or a slave, you can still be punished. That's the words of Jesus himself. Not a single word from Jesus ever denounces slavery, even in the slightest. And this is exactly the excuse that the slave traders and the slave masters used for the brutality of their slaves. They used the Bible as a shield to block them from any criticism for the horrors they were conducting. And then black American Christians, they came to your ancestors with this bullshit. And they beat them, and they tortured this into their brain. They gave them no choice to believe it. And you can imagine, at first, they must have thought it was total bullshit. The African slaves must have been like, so you're telling me a snake talked, and then God impregnated a virgin with himself so he could sacrifice himself to himself to forgive us of the shit that he condemned us to begin with? But the slave masters were like, whoosh, whoosh. So they're like, all right, dude, whatever, dude. Talking snakes, virgin verse, whatever, dude. Just fucking calm down with the whip a little bit, dude. It's all good, boss. And you can imagine, it was beat into their head. Generation after generation after generation, they were tortured, terrorized, lived in fear constantly, until eventually they had no choice but to believe it. And then once they believe it, they started spreading it to their children, generation after generation after generation, until we come to you, modern-day black American Christians, and you're still teaching this shit to your other black fellow human beings. And I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but that makes you an Uncle Tom House Negro. How could it not? You're spreading the exact filth that was used to keep your people enslaved to begin with. The excuse that was used to enslave you. And it's still used to enslave you to this very day. But if you really believe this, let's be honest here for a second, black American Christians. That's real talk here. If you honestly believe the Bible is true and that non-Christians have a chance of being burned in a hellfire for eternity, then obviously that means the slave traders and the slave masters did both you and your ancestors a huge favor. Because had they not gone over there and kidnapped them and brought them over here and terrorized them and tortured this book into their mind, there is a very good chance that you right now would not be a Christian. that you, right now, might be burned forever, tortured for an eternity in a hellfire, the most horrible suffering the mind can possibly imagine. And if you really believe that, don't your people owe my people some reparations? Famously, black people, pay up. Logic.
Wow. What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I told you tonight's going to be controversial. And you know what? I can't even apologize for him using cuss words. And he was speaking his opinion. But at the same time, he's teaching fact. Check this out. Well, y'all know about the reparation thing, though. But anyway, Sir John Hawkins had a distinction of becoming the first slave ship captain to bring Africans to America, to the Americas. Hawkins was a religious gentleman who insisted that his crew serve God daily and love one another. His ship, ironically called the Good Ship Jesus, left the shores of native England for Africa in October 1562. He arrived in Sierra Leone, and in the short time he had 300 blacks in his possession. Hawkins claimed to have acquired them partly by sword and partly by other means. The Good Ship Jesus. I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm letting you guys know I'm about to go in. Have any of you ever heard of the Good Ship Jesus? Have any of your pastors at your churches taught you about the Good Ship Jesus? Has any of the history lessons or Black History Month talked about the Good Ship Jesus? Of course not. Of course not. We got to keep you oppressed. Of course not. We can't let you learn the truth. Once you learn the truth, guess what? You rebel against our teachings that we taught you, slave. Come on now. Why we teach you something? Why we teach you the truth? We teach you what we want you to learn. Matter of fact, while we at it, we're going to go ahead and give this Jesus blonde hair, blue eyes too while we're at it. I'm not talking about being racist here. I'm talking about learning the truth. Why are we Christians? I'm not saying not to be a Christian. Why are we still Christians but still teaching the slave thinking side of being a Christian? Why are we having these discussions? Why are we teaching these lessons? Why don't we know our history? Because I think we're afraid. Because why? Because we have been taught to be step and fetch it Negroes. We have been taught to be passive. We don't want to stir up the pot. We don't want to be called angry. Do you actually believe that if during the Holocaust, if say for instance they was delivering Jews in the, I don't even know a Jewish term. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know who's a Moses. I think Moses is in the Torah. I'm just saying. What if it was the good concentration camp Moses? Do you actually believe that Jewish would attach that to their culture? Taking a break. I'm taking a break. I'm just bringing out. I'm just bringing out the stuff that we don't talk about. These are not my opinions. I'm just bringing it out. That's all I'm doing.
Look at you now. Hey, do you have anything on you? 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 Music.
that's who we wanna be. We want to be free.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
This show is sponsored by damselindistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let damselindistress.com be your helping hands. Call 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services. That's 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Someday.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YIZERRadio.com. I just want to be clear. I know there's some people listening tonight. I'm just teaching our real black history, our real African-American history. That's what I've done all this month. Have you guys, we love Dr. Martin Luther King, okay? I just want to continue on with our subject tonight. Dr. Martin Luther King. But once again, we talk about brotherhood. We talk about religion. We talk about Christian religion and our brotherhood. Are you guys familiar with the letter that Dr. Martin Luther King wrote, the letter from the Birmingham jail? If you're not familiar with that, if you want to learn true black history, you need to read that letter. But did you guys know that that letter was encouraged for the simple fact that he's wondering why, as a Christian religious leader, why is he not getting support from his white Christian leaders? And we're talking about in the 60s now. You know, we're talking about slavery is over now. Slavery is over. We have definitely adopted Christianity in our community. But why are we still getting backlash from our fellow brothers if we're all supposed to be love and harmony in the same religion? Now let's check out Dr. King's struggle or why he wrote the letter from the Birmingham jail.
In 1963, in Birmingham, Alabama, King would launch waves of protests in the hope that images of aggressive police action might arouse the conscience of the nation and its president. Billy Graham called for restraint, saying King should put the brakes on. When King himself was arrested for marching without a permit, white religious leaders in Birmingham denounced him.
Fellow men of God are calling for him to back away. He's creating more problems. He's disturbing the peace. He is bringing woes to the South. They saw that as ungodly. And Martin Luther King was appalled. So he started writing this letter from the Birmingham jail. He wrote it around the margins of the New York Times. And when he ran out of space, he wrote on toilet tissue.
The letter itself is a response to the challenge of white ministers in Birmingham who had said, you know, why are you coming? Why are you causing trouble in our city? So he has to respond to that. because they're challenging him as a Christian minister and saying that what you're doing doesn't seem very Christian to me.
In his letter, later published in the Atlantic Monthly, King said he was preaching the gospel of freedom and challenged the complacency of his fellow ministers.
He goes on to question the good faith of the religious leaders in the churches who were so critical of his movement. He says, I drive by their churches with their perfectly manicured front lawns, and I ask myself, who is their God? How can someone who professes to worship a God and a Savior who saw all people as being equal, who created all people equal, a Christ who died for all people, how could these servants of that God and of that Christ do anything other than join in the fight for civil rights?
The Birmingham campaign grew more violent, and King's followers would find their own faith severely tested. Memories of those moments remain vivid today.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on YazzoRadio.com. February 23rd, 2014, we are talking about the African-American Christians, how we became Christians, what's our role as Christians in this country, and the understanding of the history of being a Christian. Now, I played a clip about Dr. King because I asked the question, is Christianity the racist religion in the country? Is it? Is it a racist religion? I mean, are African-Americans allowed to go to any white church in the country without getting any type of flack? Can black people go to any white church in the country? I mean, can white people go to any black country, any church in the country, and don't get any flack? But this is what gets me. You have, like in that clip, like preachers like the Billy Graham. It's so funny. I was just driving through Charlotte, North Carolina about 2 weeks ago, and that's actually a street named after Billy Graham. But he was one of the big-time racist Christian preachers back in the day that was telling Martin Luther King, see, you've been one of them unruly Negroes. You're getting the good Negroes all riled up, and that's not godly. That's not Christian-like. Really? Really? You see what I'm saying? How did they, for years, even back then, and they do it today, still manipulate our community with religion? Once again, I'm not bashing the Christian religion. I just want us to start thinking a little bit more consciously about the religion that more than, I would say, 70% of my community has attached to their lifestyle. Have you guys noticed that African Americans, Christians are always like only important to other Christian leaders when they need you or when they try to control you? And one thing that struck me kind of odd was I ran across another clip and I was like, could this be a form of brainwash? Could this be a form of somebody controlling and manipulating my community? I ask these questions, and when I ask these questions, I go out and get the information. After I get the information, I study the information. After I study the information, I form my opinion. Once I form my opinion, I put that opinion in action, moving forward. So I run across this clip because I was at that stage and I was asking myself, could my people be getting brainwashed? Could we be getting brainwashed? So I'm going to play this clip. I'm not saying that we're brainwashed, but I did ask this question. And I'm going to give you guys my answer, what I think about, or any of us brainwashed. Thank you.
is Real Talk. I wanted to talk about black people following Christianity in America. Now, the main reason why most black people in America follow Christianity is because it was passed down to us from our slave masters. It was passed from one generation to the next generation. The Bible was actually used to justify slavery. And a lot of black people today don't even realize this. Now, most black people in Africa don't follow Christianity. Most black people in Africa follow Islam. And most black people in Europe also don't follow Christianity. The only black people in the world that follow Christianity at a high percentage are black people in America. This is why I try to encourage a lot of black people in America to start being more open-minded. Start thinking for yourself. Don't just believe what you were raised to believe. Don't just believe what you were taught to believe. I think Christianity is a form of brainwash. Just like any other religion, I think it divides people more than anything. People talk about race dividing people. Nothing in this world divides people more than religion. And I think people need to start being more open-minded to different beliefs. Black people in America are so brainwashed by Christianity to the point where you can't tell them any different. If you go up to the average black person in America and tell them you don't believe in Christianity, they look at you like something is wrong with you, like you're an alien from another planet because you don't believe in Christianity. You don't believe in this false religion. The reason why I stopped following Christianity, the reason why I stopped believing in Christianity, is because everything about the Bible contradicts itself. Everything in the Bible has been proven false. The Bible is not the word of God. It's the word of man. People wrote the Bible. God did not write the Bible. So when I see people go on and on about this being the word of God, I just think that's completely ridiculous. It's not logical. And this is the problem I have with a lot of religious people. They don't look at anything in a logical point of view. They don't look at anything in a common sense point of view. And I just wish more black people in America would start being more open-minded, start being more independent thinking. This last Easter, there was a family event in my family. And I went to that event. And everybody in the family was talking about Christianity and the Bible. And they wanted me to join in. And I told them I didn't want to join in because I don't believe in it. And everybody in the family got mad at me because I say I don't believe in Christianity. And this is the problem with most black people in America. Most black people in America are so brainwashed by Christianity to the point where you can't tell them any different.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. Now, I played that clip because, once again, these are topics that need to be talked about in our community. That young brother right there had the courage to broadcast his true belief. Now, I got a question out there for my community. He's not a Christian. He doesn't believe in Christianity. And he also believes that a lot of the Christians, African-American Christians, are brainwashed. What do you guys think? Do you think that this guy here is misled or misguided? Or does his conversation spark just a little curiosity in your head to maybe reach down more and learn more about your religion that you choose? Now, me personally, there's some things that he said that I agree with. There's some things that he's saying that I don't agree with. I do agree, and I do know this for a fact, that religions are man-made. But I do believe also that religions, whatever the religion you choose, is very important in a person's life to give them a roadmap to get to the promised land, paradise, heaven, or to even just be a better person on this earth. I believe that everything in this world needs some type of manual. If it's the new television that you just bought, you need a manual to operate that TV. I believe that you need some sort of religion, especially spirituality, but I think you should have spirituality as your foundation, but you need some type of religion to be your pretty much your operation manual in the world, to be a better person, to be that person that the Creator wants you to be on this earth. Okay, now let's get to the second part of this clip on, are we being brainwashed, or African Americans being brainwashed by Christianity?
And this is the problem with most black people in America. Most black people in America are so brainwashed by Christianity to the point where you can't tell them any different. And if they hear a different point of view, they don't even want to hear it. They're not even open to having a different point of view. I'm not telling people to stop following Christianity. If that's what you want to believe, believe it. I just wish more black people in America would start being more open-minded. I think this is the reason why there's so much hatred towards other groups of people. Other groups of people that don't follow Christianity. And another thing that I find really interesting about a lot of people who call themselves Christians is because they don't practice what they preach. You'll see a person call themselves a Christian, and they'll walk around cussing like a storm. You'll see a person call themselves a Christian, and they'll go around sleeping with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You got a lot of these women got kids with 5 and 6 different men, and they got the nerve to call themselves a Christian while they're having baby out of wedlock after baby out of wedlock. I would have more respect for Christians if they actually practiced what they preached. Because it's actually rare to come across a Christian that actually practices what they preach, that actually follows what they say they believe in. For me personally, I'm more of an agnostic thesis. I still believe in God, but I don't believe in these religions. I don't believe in these man-made religions. Because I believe religion divides people more than anything. And I think the one thing in this world that we need to do as people is we need to start coming together as a people. And religion just divides people. You look at worldwide, all these wars that are going on in the Middle East, that are going on in Africa, that are going on throughout the world, a lot of these wars are based on religious beliefs. And I think a lot of people, until people start being more open-minded, a lot of these wars and a lot of these killing is going to continue. Until people start being more open-minded to different people's beliefs, this chaos is going to continue. A lot of Christians try to portray atheists and agnostics as being these bad, evil people. They try to portray them as being devil worshippers when that's not true. If you look at countries like Japan, Japan has a large atheist population. Japan has one of the lowest murder rates out of any country in the world. They have less than 20 murders a year. America has more than 10,000 murders a year. So when I see a lot of Christians in America try to portray people who are not Christians in other countries as being these violent, evil people, not only is it hypocritical, it's also propaganda. I just wish people would do their own research, look at the facts of the matter, and come to your own conclusion. Stop believing the media stereotype that any person that doesn't believe in Christianity must be this violent, evil person, when that's not true. A lot of people have different opinions about this topic. Leave a comment.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on GuysRadio.com. And tonight, we're talking about the real, true black history, the African-American Christian. I have taken us back from slavery to today's mind state of the African-American Christian. We all know that Christianity was forced upon us by our slave master. We also know that today in 2014, there are still Christian leaders out there who teach the same slave thought pattern of the Christianity. But there are some Christian leaders out there who are teaching a more progressive, more modern version of Christianity to uplift our people. Because I'm a true believer that our people are supposed to move forward. We're not supposed to still be back there, you know, being very passive and very forgiving for everything. That's just like, I hate to use that example, just like when I was watching, you know, the verdict last weekend of Jordan Davis' parents got on there talking about how they're going to pray and forgive for the murder of their son. I don't believe that. It's that way. It's like, that doesn't make you a better Christian because you can forgive the person who raped you, forgive the person who murdered you or murdered your child. Well, not murdered you. If you murdered you, if you did. You forgive the person who murdered a family member of yours or forgive the person who robbed you. No. Because the other part that gets me, especially if we're going to so-called be Christians in this country, but then our brothers, they're on this other side talking about they're Christians, but they're bombing countries. We're dropping a bomb on our enemies. God bless America. How contradictory is that? This is the other part that gets me too. And I'm play this clip by Bishop E.W. Jackson. He says what I've been wanting to say for a long time to a lot of African American Christians who automatically, like I said, we attach to things that our slave master gave us, and we live that way today, and we teach it to our children, and our children are teaching it to their children, and I refuse to continue to not say anything about it. We accept the slave food that's killing us, high blood pressure, diabetes. We accepted a lot of the slave thought patterns of the Christian religion that the slave master forced upon us, that we're not conscious thinkers, that we cannot have a general conversation with somebody who doesn't believe the same religion that we believe in, that we have to be so judgmental. Why? Because our slave master taught us to teach that way. And now when it comes to politics and religion, you're supposed to separate the separation of church and state. But no, automatically, we got to be black. We got to eat soul food, we got to be Christians, and we got to be Democrats. And this is why I love this clip by Bishop E.W. Jackson, waking our people up, because think about it. The Democrats, they teach so much anti-Christian beliefs, and we sit there and follow their beliefs. There are so many African-American preachers out there now all of a sudden are for gay marriage and all this type of stuff, and for centuries they have taught different sins. You shouldn't supposed to do none of them. Adultery, you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to really eat pork. You're not supposed to be cussing. You're not supposed to be drinking. You're not supposed to do a lot of things. But we vote people in who believe these things. And that's why I'm playing this clip by Bishop E.W. Jackson, because it's one of those things like, what happened to the separation of church and state? But my thing that I'm trying to do is wake my people up for us to stop having such slave mentality. And like I'm asking you guys again, are you a slave? Do you think you're a slave? If you don't think you're a slave, or you don't call yourself a slave, stop acting like a slave, because if you act like a slave, guess what? You a slave. Slave.
My name is Bishop E.W. Jackson, Chairman of Ministers Taking a Stand, with a message to Christians in the black community. It is time to end the slavish devotion to the Democrat Party. They have insulted us, used us, and manipulated us. They have saturated the black community with ridiculous lies. Unless we support the Democrat Party, we will be returned to slavery. We will be robbed of voting rights. The Martin Luther King holiday will be repealed. They think we are stupid and that these lies will hold us captive while they violate everything we believe as Christians. The Democrat Party has created an unholy alliance between certain so-called civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood, which has killed unborn black babies by the tens of millions. Planned Parenthood has been far more lethal to black lives than the KKK ever was. And the Democrat Party and their black civil rights allies are partners in this genocide. The Democrat Party has equated homosexuality with being black, which is another outrageous lie. They can keep their homosexuality private. You and I cannot hide being black. I need not recount to you the painful history of slavery, Jim Crow, lynchings, and sterilizations, all because of skin color.
Anyone who dares equate the so-called gay rights movement to the history of black Americans is exploiting the black community. They say opposition to same-sex marriage is the same as opposition to interracial marriage. That is an insult to human intelligence. It is a lie. No Christian should support this. Yet the Democrat Party has now declared same-sex marriage an official part of its platform. And black Christians remain in that party? The civil rights establishment has embraced the lies and betrayed the black community and God Almighty for 30 pieces of silver from the Democrat Party. We as Christians ought to know better. Shame on us for allowing ourselves to be sold to the highest bidder. We belong to God. Our ancestors were sold against their will centuries ago, but we're going to the slave market voluntarily today. Yes, it's just that ugly. What do you call it when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins and paid the price for our freedom, and you join in covenant with a political party that doesn't even want God mentioned in their platform and gets offended at the very mention of Jesus' name? If your pastor tells you to vote for a party that disrespects Jesus, you need to leave that church. Black pastors are also going to have to answer for whether they serve Jesus or the Democrat Party. The black community will never prosper by betraying God and following leadership that curries the favor of the Democrat Party. It is time for Christians to have the faith and courage to refuse to associate with a political party that has over the years become anti-Christian, anti-church, anti-Bible, anti-life, anti-family, and anti-God. The Democrat Party is also becoming increasingly anti-Israel, and God said, I will curse those that curse Israel. Do you want to be cursed with them? It is time to come out of the Democrat Party and to refuse to support its candidates in their rebellion against God. It's not about party, but principle. It's not about race, but righteousness. And you will stand before God to give an account for your choices and motives. We don't need the Democrat Party or any party. We need God. God will take care of us. It's been a long time coming, but the time has come to take a stand. Come out from among them. Exodus now.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. Listen to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com. Tonight, I'm closing out the show. Tonight, we have talked about being an African-American Christian, why we became Christians, how we are Christians, and how does Christianity affect us in today's world. Tonight's show, I thought, was one of the most controversial shows we've ever done. Now, I'm going to close out the show by giving you guys some solutions. Here we go. I have no problem with whatever religion that you choose. I don't even have a problem if you don't even have a religion. You know, I don't want anybody to join a religion that I believe in. This is what I do want my people to do. I want my people to start being a little bit more conscious of what they believe. I want my people to start studying more what they believe and just stop sitting in churches every Sunday just listening to somebody preach something to you, then you regurgitate what they said without actually taking and studying for yourself. Pick up the Bible, study it, read it. Pick up a Torah, study it, read it, and pick up a Quran, study it and read it. Don't be afraid to learn other religions. I mean, at the end of the day, they all supposed to be passed to God, the Creator. You know, and also be a little bit open-minded. Start having open conversation with other believers. You know, and we're not talking about a debate or an argument to say my religion is better than your religion. Start talking about things that your religions have in common. Because every religion is different because guess what? Every religion is man-made. But just start being more conscious, my people, and stop this automatically just following suit just because the powers that be say this is what you're supposed to do as a black person. A black person in this country does not have to be a Christian. A black person in this country does not have to eat soul food. A black person in this country does not have to be a Democrat. We have our own culture. That's grasped our culture that we're supposed to do. Quit grasping the culture that was given to us by the slave trade. Stop being a slave. Let's stop thinking like slaves. Let's move forward. Let's move forward. And let's be the kings and queens that we are. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'm closing out tonight's show. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I will see you guys on Thursday. And what I tell you guys every week I tell you guys, Knowledge is not power. The use of knowledge is power. Peace, I'm out.
Here now is a special item of news from the JBC Newsroom. Entertainer and reggae star Bob Marley is a now patient in the University Hospital after receiving gunshot wounds during a shooting incident which took place at Marley's home at 56 Hope Road tonight.
Any community brain is a problem, like you brain have prison.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
This show is sponsored by damselindistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let damselindistress.com be your helping hands. Call 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services. That's 1-888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code YIZER to receive a 5% discount on your services.